Hello, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right? Well, I'm fine, thank God. I have no complaints. Feel great. Way I feel today, I'm going to live to be 100. As a matter of fact, just between you and me, I'm going to live forever. How about you? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, Jesus said. And he also said to his disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Paul the Apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 4, after the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of believers, he said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to be around a while. How about you, believer? Isn't that good to have that blessed hope? Yes, it is. Arthritis may have tied you down, rheumatism, or just plain passing of the years. Don't call it old age. Just the passing of the years may have tied you down a little or slowed you down. But you can look up with a twinkle in your eye and fire in your heart and say, thank God I'm going to be around in a million years. You'll see me. I'll meet you at the corner of Hallelujah Avenue and Amen Street, yonder in the glory. Ever with the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, you and I. And we got to verse 9, where this concept of being filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding has come into focus. Last time we got together, you'll remember I mentioned to you that we start with the concept that God does have a plan for your life. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Said of our Lord Jesus, he himself knew what he would do. In another place, John, the gospel writer, remarks, Jesus needed not that any should tell him of men, for he knew what was in man. The psalmist remarks that God is acquainted with all our thoughts. He knows what's in our, there's not a word in my tongue, he says, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, thou art acquainted with my downsitting and uprising, and thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. It's a pretty thorough knowledge God has of your life, and he has laid his plans for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, God says, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a desired end. So we start with that concept that God has a plan for your life. Now, it's true that he allows you to make decisions within the framework of his own sovereign planning. He allows you to make decisions. That's the miracle of God's gracious interworking with our lives. At the same time, we are free not simply to make decisions, but free to submit to the will of God. If any man will do the will of God, he shall know of the doctrine, Jesus said. And we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I suppose if anyone has a life verse, that would be mine. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall, that's definite, isn't it? Not maybe. He shall direct thy paths. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, says the Scripture. Now, with all of that background, knowing that God knows me, that he loves me, that he has a plan for my life, that he has made me free to choose, but also free to yield to him so I can get his perfect provision, I go forth into life then praying, acknowledging him, seeking his will, and being willing to do his will as he reveals it to me. I asked Pastor Ward Potts, my precious pastor friend in the Cleveland, Ohio area, I said, why do you think that God has given you all of these different blessed, thrilling ministries? And he said, well, I was talking to the Father about that one day. You know, he has that blessed direct contact with God that is a conversational Father-Son connection that just thrills my heart. He said, I was talking to the Father about that one day. And he said to me, he said, the reason I ask you to do these things is because I know you'll do them. I know you'll obey. Well, beloved, I want to be that kind of person, don't you? I want to be the kind of person who obeys what God says. That, it seems to me, is the key to knowing more of the will of God. The old-time holiness people had a good thought when they said, walk in the light you have and God will give you more light. Any of you old-timers remember hearing that? Walk in the light you have, and God will give you more light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So walk in the light you have, and God will give you more light. Very true. So he says, filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, how do you go about that? First of all, you realize that there is an objective truth known as the will of God for you. Second, you seek that in prayer and in surrender of your own will and prejudices and biases. Third, you settle the matter of whether or not you are willing to obey what God tells you. If you're not willing to obey, you're not going to get very far with the Lord. Right? And then, if you're willing to obey, you do what you know is God's will for you at this time. One of the great dynamic elements in Christian experience grows out of this matter of immediate obedience. Paul the Apostle was trying to go through some doors that were closed. Couldn't go into Phrygia, couldn't go into some of these other areas. You remember that in Acts chapter 16? He said they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit allowed them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Immediately we endeavored. You want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will? Start doing what you know to be the will of God. Instead of wasting time on the closed doors and the negatives, do what you know is God's will in any given situation. There's always, one of my guiding principles in life has been, there's always something constructive that can be done in the presence of a problem. You know, so simple a matter. Let me take a ridiculous illustration. You're sitting in a room with a friend, and all of a sudden a storm blows up, and it's raining in. And you say, oh, how terrible, it's raining in. Well, your friend says, silly, get up and close the window. And so you get up and close the window, and it stops raining in because the window is closed. You closed it. Now, that's a very simple, homey illustration of doing something in the face of a problem, isn't it? There's always something that can be done. I remember the day I had a committee of students waiting on me. They were all angry, and I was apprehensive about it. I thought perhaps we were in for some kind of a confrontation. I said, what seems to be the trouble? And the spokesman for them stood forth and said, there's a dead mouse in the kitchen. I thought, oh, dear Lord, now how can I be blamed for the fact that some dumb mouse chose the kitchen as a place to go to glory? You know, I just, yeah, I heaved a sigh. I thought, oh, boy. But it occurred to me that there was something that could be done to break the tension. And I said, well, has anybody given this mouse a Christian burial? No, he's still there, lying in the hallway. So I said to one of the boys, I said, John, you go down and pick him up gently and deposit him in the ash can, give him a Christian burial, and then come back. And they all sort of chuckled a little, and the tension was broken. What developed, of course, was that the mouse was only what we call the aggravating cause. There were some other things they had in mind, and we could do something about them. It developed all the way from a light fixture that wouldn't work to a torn shower curtain that wasn't replaced, and I don't know what all. We could do something about it. I think that's a good working principle, beloved, and I wish you'd take it for yourself. In the face of any problem, as you pray and as you seek God, there is always some constructive step of obedience that you can take at that time. Don't wait around worrying about what's going to happen 10 years from now when you're considering the will of God. Saul of Tarsus, later Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus lying prostrated there on the road to Damascus, raised his sightless face to heaven and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And our blessed Lord said, "Go into Damascus and it'll be told you there what to do." And so, now sightless, he had to be led into the city. And for 3 days he was seeking God, praying, waiting on God until Brother Ananias came to lay his hands on him and heal his eyes and give him the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. "What wilt thou have me to do? If any man will do his will, he shall know. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth ahead." Oh, can you get hold of that today and bring it with you onto Main Street, into the office, into the shop, into the community, or right there at home, dear homemaker, with 3 million things facing you that you scarcely have strength enough to think about, let alone do? Can you put that to work, that principle, in your life? Take a step of obedience, what you know you should do to obey God, and he'll lead you step by blessed step, filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, what is the essence of this experience? Paul goes on to say, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Wisdom is the quality of knowing what to do with the knowledge you have. A little boy of 7 knows how to start his father's car. He'll turn the key, start the motor, press the accelerator, make the engine go vroom, vroom, vroom. Knows where the horn button is. He fell on it at age 3 and has been blowing it ever since, every time he gets a chance. Knows how to turn on the lights and turn on the windshield wiper, and he knows all about that. He's pretty knowledgeable, this little 7-year-old. If it were legal, which it's not, but he doesn't have the wisdom to go with his knowledge. You see what I mean? Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. Do your homework. God will never do your homework for you, I tell the students. But God will give you wisdom. Yes, he will. And when you get to the end of your abilities and your knowledge, the faithful Holy Spirit of God will guide you and tell you what God wants you to do. Dear Father, today, help us to act on what we know to be thy will. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6511. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.